The scripture reading this morning is Psalm 121. We'll read the entire psalm. I raise my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God won't let your foot slip. Your protector won't fall asleep on the job. No, Israel's protector never sleeps or rests. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your shade right beside you. The sun won't strike you during the day, neither will the moon at night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. God will protect your very life. The Lord will protect you on your journeys, whether you're going or coming, from now until forever from now. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We know God is gracious. We know God is kind and loving. We know we can trust in the abundance of God. We know all that. We have been taught that. We have learned to say that. But there are times when all that we believe, all that we know, can be tested. When we find ourselves in perilous waters of one kind or another, waters that continue to rise day by day, we have all experienced depleted spiritual resources. Take hope, for instance. There seems to be some kind of black hole when it comes to hope. Life's paths seem ridden with black holes that absorb every glimmer of hope. Some of these hope-sucking holes are physical dangers. Injury, disease, even death. Some are economic holes, recession, economic depression, unemployment, debt, insolvency. And then there are spiritual black holes, doubt, fear, discouragement. Whatever the hole may be, they can all render us hopeless. No light left at all. The good news is that hope is a renewable resource. We know this to be true. Not too long ago, we recognized new hope budding with the greening of spring. A sparrow that came scratching at the window, tulips sending up green leaves through the brown, the fresh, cool spring breeze through the back door, or a gentle spring rain and birds chirping. Daffodils coming up and magnolias budding. In those simple, brief, and fleeting moments, we saw a growing hope. But was it a hope that has endured the passing of time? Has that hope wilted in summer's heat? Have life's challenges extinguished the light of hope from our lives, leaving us hopeless? Where do we turn for more hope? Is there a more enduring hope, one that has a longer shelf life, a hope that is for all seasons, a hope that can rise to meet and endure the challenges of life, whatever they may be? Well, we catch a glimpse of hope, a glimmering assurance of God's presence among us in sparrows and budding trees and flowers and kind faces of our neighbors. The psalmist sings of a higher and more enduring hope, a hope which can sustain our whole journey through. This kind of hope, the psalmist says, must rest in God. Psalm 121 is a song that has been sung by travelers through the ages. It is a psalm of ascent, believed to have been a song that pilgrims would sing on their journey to the Jerusalem temple. Not only might they have sung it as they ascended the final climb to the temple, sitting atop the hill, but it might also have been a traveling song all along their way. For some of them, it could have been a long and demanding journey. But they went. Along their difficult way, they sang this song. It was a song for their journey. It carried them from where they were to where they were going. It was a song that continually renewed the one thing that would sustain them for the long haul, hope. The psalm begins with a clear declaration of perspective. Hope begins by lifting your eyes. That's a good place to start. Look up. Lift your eyes from the valley of shadows. Lift your eyes from the black holes of life. Look to higher hills. In what might have been a call and response, the song continues with a question. Where does our help come from? Or in what do we hope? Where is our hope and strength found? And the response, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Having identified the focus of hope, the psalmist is just getting started. He breaks into song about the kind of help found by putting one's hope in God, the kind of help that seems to be particularly well suited for the trying heat of summer sun or journeys through valleys of shadow, places where the light of hope begins to flicker in the face of the winds of chaos. He sings, "The Lord is your protector, the Lord is your shade." Right before you. The sun won't strike you during the day, neither will the moon at night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. God will protect your very life. The Lord will protect you on your journeys, whether going or coming. And as for the shelf life of God's protection, from now until forever from now. The problem doesn't seem to be the provisions of God, maker of heaven and earth. The rub seems to be our ability to continue to hope in God when things begin to go south. How can we hope in God and not let that hope wane when things get worse? How do we not become hopeless when nothing ever seems to get better? How do we replenish a depleted supply of hope? I came across a lesson on hope this week that seems to offer some reassurance in response to questions like these. Questions that, if we're honest, we all ask ourselves when it comes to even being able or willing to lift our eyes to God, the maker of heaven and earth, much less trying to maintain hope across our valleys of shadow. Maurice Nutt writes, "Hope can be learned with practice. Certain attitudes support it. One is patience, an ability to tolerate delays, a willingness to let events unfold in their own time. The other is courage, an attitude of confidence, even when facing the unknown. A third is persistence, a determination to keep going no matter what happens." This lesson breaks down hope into three parts: patience, courage, and persistence. Now, to me, these three parts might be as individually challenging to learn as learning how to have hope, but yet it offers us helpful instruction. Take the attitude of patience. That seems to suggest that maybe what we have lost is not our hope after all. Maybe we have more hope than we realize. Maybe our hope abides just beneath a good thick layer of our own impatience and restlessness. Our failure to get things to happen when we want them to happen can cause hope to get lost in the scramble. The ancient Greeks had two words for time, chronos and kairos. Chronos refers to clock time, time that can be measured. Seconds, minutes, hours, years. The personification of Chronos is often depicted in images like Old Father Time, a weary, bent-back old man with a long gray beard carrying a scythe and an hourglass. His resemblance to the Grim Reaper is not accidental. Chronos is the stuff that kills you. It takes away everything you have, and then it eats you too. Kairos, on the other hand, was a young man, lithe and handsome. In Christian theology, kairos has a sense of ripeness, lovely moments of creative transformation. Maybe the key is discovering that hope is a matter of changing our clocks, waiting in hope and patience for something to happen in God's time. As for the second attitude of courage or confidence, it seems to be a matter of focus again, focusing on the sure, enduring love and power of God to whom we continue to look. Our hope might become less shaken when God is truly trusted to be our strength and our salvation, making a way where there had been no way. Now, persistence. Persistence may be the toughest of these three attitudes needed to learn the lesson of hope. While courage rests in God's power and strength, persistence is all us. We have to keep on keeping on while waiting for God's time. We have to stick with it when the way God is making for us goes uphill and around winding curves. When where we are still seems far from where we need to go. That's not easy. If we are to persevere, we must remember that regardless of where we find ourselves, and regardless of the circumstances that we must endure for now, God is still God, and God is still our strength and our hope. Maybe we can learn to hope. Maybe we just need a better idea of how to find it and how to practice it. Cassidy Hard offers more instruction on hope in this closing blessing. When despair knocks on your door, threatens to drown you, whispers impossible, impossible, impossible in your exhausted ears, you do not begin with hope. You begin with love, poured out infinitely, unconditionally, your foundation and your breath. Only out of this all-pervasive love can hope emerge. You can rest rooted, held securely in the love of the earth and the one who made it. You can trust in the infinite goodness of the earth and the one who made it. And you do not end with hope. Hope isn't the goal. Hope moves. Hope is the pathway, the getaway car, the sheet music. Hope is the water that nourishes the seed. Hope is the bowl that holds the meal. Hope is the vessel, the instrument, the posture. May hope open your hands to let go of expectations, to receive the gifts of this present moment, to reach out to others in committed connection. When your cup overflows with tears or gratitude, may hope give you the courage to begin again and again every day, assured of the promise that you never walk through the valley of shadow alone. Amen.